participation of the inner life of God in three divine persons. Contemplation and love of the Blessed Trinity, present in us by grace, beginning of eternal life, cease therefore to be man's highest activity here below, to which all other activities should be directed. Human activity was sundered from grace and accordingly came to be an end in itself. Self-seeking inevitably gave birth to the present sad situation. Now to cure the evil radically, the ideal of life as grasped by the men of the Middle Ages must return. By grace we share in God's life. God's life is knowledge and love of himself, and it is from that knowledge and love that his action springs. So too must it be with us. Our action must spring from the divine life in us and must aim at strengthening it. That ideal must prevail amongst us, not only individually, but socially. And men must come to recognize once more that the contemplative religious orders discharge the most vital social function. St. Thomas's principles must be brought back into the minds and hearts of men. Says the angelic doctor, quote, "If the ultimate happiness of man does not exist in external things, termed goods of fortune, nor in bodily advantages, nor in the pleasure of sense, if it does not consist either in the exercise of the moral virtues, or in that of prudence, or in the arts, it must be sought in the contemplation of truth. By contemplation, man shares in the life which is in the angels and in God, and by it he is united to the angels and to God. For contemplation, man is least dependent and most self-sufficing, inasmuch as for it he stands little in need of external things. To it, as to their last end, all other human activities appear to be directed. It is for the perfection of contemplation that the body is kept up, and for this purpose makes use of the objects prepared by the arts. It is for it that the passions are subdued and harmony established by the moral virtues and by prudence, and it is the business of the civil government to favor it by bringing about freedom from external disturbances. Hence, if we look at things in the right light, the whole functioning of human life is meant to be at the service of those who are engaged in the contemplation of truth." End of quote. Protestantism rejected all intrinsic participation in the divine life of grace, and thus divorced human activity from its rightful subordination to the development of that life in man. It is not surprising, then, that a social organization so misdirected should fall under the influence of the Jewish race. The Jews rejected the doctrine of the Blessed Trinity and turned against our Lord, the source of grace, obstinately refusing to be heralds of his life to the nations. Again, with the decay in belief in the divinity of our Lord amongst Protestants, naturalism is, of course, gaining ground amongst them. Accordingly, we find them drawn into the current of preparation for the natural Messiah, looked forward to by the Jewish nation. There is only one world, the world in which the full acceptance of him leads to order, and the rejection of him and of his plan of redemption to disorder. He that is not with me is against me. Catholics must not be deceived by communist propaganda for the abolition of capitalism. Communists mean to do away not only with the abuses of private ownership, to which what is called the capitalist regime gave birth, but to the very institution of private property in land and in the other means of production. That means a return to slavery, but to a slavery worse than the pagan one from which the Redeemer raised us. This will be evident from a brief glance at the types of society which the world has seen. Property means control of wealth. The three factors required for the production of wealth are labor, which is not wealth, land, which is not wealth, and capital, which is wealth. According to the way in which control has been and is exercised over these three factors, three forms of society have successfully appeared in history. Ancient Greece and Rome were servile states in which the material means of production were the property of men who also owned the human agents of production. Under the influence of the Catholic Church, the servile state was replaced by the distributive state in which the material means of production were owned by the free human agents of production. Property had passed from the hands of the few to the many. The rending of the mystical body in the 16th century gave birth to the capitalist state, in which the material means of production are again the property of a few, while numerous human agents of production are politically free but without property. We have seen that even those who control the material means of production in the capitalist state are themselves largely at the mercy of those who manipulate finance. Now, the reaction against the capitalist state will be guided by the Catholic Church, and then we shall see a rebirth of the distributive state, incorporating the elements of material progress achieved in modern times into harmonious subordination to the mystical body of Christ. The formal principle of ordered life grasped in the Middle Ages will thus be applied to new matter, or the reaction will be guided by the financial forces which rule the world in the direction of communism, in which all the means of production will be owned nominally by the state, in practice by those who control the Communist Party. The result will be worse than the pagan servile state, for it will mean the definite rejection of our Lord, true God and true man, and subjection to the natural Messiah looked forward to by the descendants of those who crucified him. To reject our Lord is worse than never to have known him. Human beings who have cut themselves adrift from the humanity of Jesus Christ are on the way to become more dehumanized than those to whom he has not been made known. Pope Leo XIII wrote, quote, "The case of governments is much the same as that of the individual. They also must run into fatal issues if they depart from the way. Let Jesus be excluded, and human reason is left without its greatest protection and illumination. The very notion is easily lost of the end for which God created human society, to wit, that by help of their civil union, the citizens should attain the natural good, but nevertheless, in a way not to conflict with that highest and most perfect and enduring good which is above nature."